And yet in the midst and in the throes of this, there comes a Macedonian call to go out of Asia Minor into Europe, to a totally new country, new area, and pioneer and introduce the gospel over again.
And welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gallagher, another opportunity to share with you the glorious gospel of our Lord Jesus. This is our earnest desire to set before you the gospel, the whole gospel, and nothing but the gospel. Matthew 11, verse 16 is our Bible reading today, where the Lord Jesus said, "But whereunto shall I liken this generation? It is like unto children sitting in the markets and calling unto their fellows, and saying, We have piped unto you, and ye have not danced. We have mourned unto you, and ye have not lamented. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, He hath a devil. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, Behold, a man gluttonous and a wine-bibber, a friend of publicans and sinners, but wisdom is justified of her children. Then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not." This Bible reading is an eye-opener. You would imagine that the Lord Jesus was not troubled with unreasonable people, because unreasonable people are impossible. You can't explain anything to them. You can't show them the facts of the case and win their hearts. They have a mind set, and all the evidence in the world won't turn them. Have you ever met people like that? It is their own way or the highway. No matter how hard you try to avoid a problem, they insist that you are the problem. You would imagine that the Lord Jesus would not be troubled with people like that. The pure, holy, harmless, perfect Son of God. Yes, he was accused with being a troublemaker. How could that be? Well, in the earthly ministry of the Lord, there were many who were impossible. When John came to them, they accused him of being too straight, too hermit-like. He came neither eating nor drinking because he was a Nazarite. But because of this, they called him a devil. When the Lord came to the people, they accused him of being too loose, for he ate and drank as common people, and accused him of being gluttonous and a wine-bibber or a drunkard. He just couldn't win. When prejudice rules the heart, reason goes out the window. When hatred is boiling and agitating against you, a man can do no good, no matter he was the Lord himself. Even the Lord had impossible people accusing him. The answer? Well, the Lord summed it up. He said, "Wisdom is justified of her children. The wise will see the issues. Fools cannot be reasoned with." This is an awful lesson on human nature and its madness against the gospel. Spiritual blindness leaves people subject to the wildest follies. They stumble all over the facts. Who does not know that this world is designed? Who does not know that the wonder of the human body means an architect of skill planned and fashioned us? Yet men will rise up in hostility to defy the very idea that there is a creator. This is folly. It means that to win men to the truth of the gospel, men need new eyes to see. That is the work of the Holy Spirit. And for this, we must pray. The Lord Jesus, in the same chapter 11, verse 25, prayed to the Father. It says, "At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. This is the miracle that sinners need. And for this, the people of God and the church of God must be earnest in prayer. We must be praying continually that men will be turned from their blindness, their prejudice to the truth, and be brought to know the Lord, to believe the gospel, and to accept their need of the Lord in their lives. That is the urgent need. And if you're not saved today, I would plead with you to cease from foolish accusations and reasoning and accept the Word of God, the Bible, the gospel, the statements of absolute truth that God sent His Son into the world to save sinners, to save you, to bring you out of deadness, darkness, sin, that you might be saved. And if you will believe and call upon Him today, He will save you. He gives promises to everyone that believeth, and He does not delay. All they that call upon Him, He will in no wise cast out. Let's unite in prayer and ask the Lord to work in hearts today. O God, our Father, we are often amazed at the blindness and the prejudice that fills so many hearts against the gospel. We realize that every baby is born into this world with an Adamic nature, a sinful nature, a nature in rebellion to God, and there is need of a new heart and of a new understanding. We earnestly pray that Thou wilt turn the hearts and minds of men and women to know Thee. We pray that Thou wilt cause them to cease from their follies, their prejudice, their self-conceited notions, and bring them to see their need of the Lord Jesus. We thank Thee that our Lord Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and that He is ready and willing to save them to the uttermost. And so I pray that today Thou wilt have mercy, even on that impossible one, to open their eyes, to turn their hearts. And now, Lord, let Thy blessing be upon this ministry, and grant that the hymns, the ministry of the Word of God, will create faith and bring people to know Thee, whom to know is life eternal. This we plead, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
I stood one day. Sin is.
And welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gollaher, pastor of our Free Presbyterian Church. We're on the air each week and here in Greater Vancouver each day to bring you the gospel of the Lord Jesus. I trust that your own heart will be encouraged and blessed through the Lord's word today. And if you have a prayer request, if you have a particular need that we may be able to help you with, feel free to give us a call at this number, 604-576-1091. If you're outside the area, 1-800-969-1091. And I trust the Lord will continue to speak to your heart both today and through each program, and that you'll join with us as we air these programs from our church. This is an extension ministry of our Free Presbyterian Church here in Canada. And we have a number of churches spread across this country, and we realize it's a vast country, and we need to have more and more churches. And that's our prayer, that God will make us to grow and to be a witness for the Lord across this nation. And we do covet your prayers and your support, and of course we'd love to have you along at our church services. Now at the end of the program here, we'll give you all the details, and especially our website, www.letthebiblespeak.ca. And there you can tune in, and not only to our email website, but also to our webcast Sunday services, 10:30 and 6 p.m. here in Cloverdale, British Columbia. And I trust that you will take the time, join with us on webcast if you're not able to join us here in our church. But of course, we look forward to hearing from you or meeting you if that be possible. So stay tuned with us here today. And now as we turn to our message, Paul the Apostle and that Macedonian call, the man in the dream saying, come over and help us. May the Lord bless you through this word.
We're coming tonight to this Macedonian call, to the situation where the Apostle Paul is in Asia Minor, very active, very busy, seeing great things done. And if you look at verse 5, you'll just see how great things are being done. This is like the Jerusalem revival times all over again, only this time in Asia Minor. Because we are told that so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. Daily. And yet in the midst and in the throes of this, there comes a Macedonian call to go out of Asia Minor into Europe, to a totally new country, new area, and pioneer and introduce the gospel over again. As I was preparing for this, I came upon an article by J. Allswell Smith. He wrote this article in his Sunday School Times, and the title of the article is there religion enough? People, he said, should know better, that tell him that the heathen are better off as they are, that their own religions satisfy them and meet their need. Why go and disturb them? And I'm sure you have met that argument as well, and you have perhaps heard, well, every man has a right to his own religion, leave them alone. It was Oswald Smith's response to that whole argument that really constrained me to share this with you tonight. He said, I am thinking now of that Mohammedan in Algeria who slashed his head again with a large knife until the blood flowed freely, then took newspapers and plastered them on top of his head. Finally, taking out a match and striking it, he set fire to the papers, hair and blood. Can you imagine the agony? Why the self-inflicted torture? Because of his religion. He was laying up merit in heaven. Mohammedanism taught him to afflict himself. He was doing it with a vengeance. Would you exchange places with him? Would you accept his religion for Christianity? Do you think that Mohammedanism brought him peace and comfort, or the very opposite? I leave you to answer. Then he goes on, I'm thinking of the Aborigines in Australia. When a baby is born, the witch doctor must find a victim somewhere, so he seizes upon the newborn infant. And in spite of the mother's protests and agonizing appeals, he fills its little mouth with sand until it chokes to death. Why does he do it? Because his pagan religion tells him to do so. The spirits have to be satisfied. Does such a religion make the mother happy? Does she enjoy seeing her little baby murdered before her eyes? I think not. You will tell her that her religion is good enough for her? Would you exchange places? Would you be willing to be that mother? Again, I leave you to answer. A third example, I am thinking of the Africans who always kill their twin babies, believing them to be demon-possessed. If God should give you twins, would you be willing to have them murdered? You would have to if you lived in Africa, for your religion would compel you to destroy them. I am thinking of the Hindu widows of India. Because of their religion, they are asked to lie down beside their husbands when they have died and allow themselves to be bound and burned alive. Thousands of them have gone out into eternity screaming in agony as they slowly burn to death. Would you exchange your religion for theirs? Do you think it brings them any pleasure, any enjoyment? Yet you tell me to let them alone. They are better off as they are. What a callous philosophy. I am thinking too of the pagans in Africa who, when a chief dies, throws his widows, 60 or 100 of them, into the grave with him and bury them alive. Is that a pleasant prospect? Would you be satisfied with such a religion? And then Oswald Smith concludes, until you, my friend, are willing to accept these religions with their consequences, their abominable practices for yourself, you ought to be ashamed to say that the heathen are better off as they are. Their religions are religions of fear. They know nothing of peace and love. They have no hope. Christianity alone offers them life, abundant life that satisfies the heart. I thought that was a very pertinent response. In light of this Macedonian call, because nations do not call for missionaries. They are so blind in their pagan religions. They are so taken up in their darkness and pagan ways that they don't realize there is hope. But here is a Macedonian call. It is a vision, and it is a vision of a man saying, a Macedonian man saying, come over and help us. As if it were a nation of people crying out for the gospel. And we find, of course, that the Apostle Paul doesn't say, well, let them alone. Their religion is good enough. But we find that he immediately responds to the gospel and he goes to the task. What kind of man responds to this Macedonian call? What kind of job description is this? What kind of person is God looking for? who will go and take the gospel to people who are dying in darkness without the gospel of the Lord Jesus. I'll tell you tonight, from these verses, the kind of man God is looking for. You will be a visionary. Secondly, you will be answerable to God's call. Thirdly, you will be set to go with a ready obedience. Fourthly, you will not be deterred by the cost. And fifthly, you will be committed to preaching the gospel. That's what we see here in Paul answering this Macedonian call. Let's go through those five things tonight. You will be a visionary. Paul had his sights already upon the fields of Asia Minor when this call came to him. He already was a man of vision. He was burdened and eager to take the gospel where he could to an area called Bithynia. Perhaps you'll look at these verses with me. Verse 7. After they were come to Mysia, they assayed, or they endeavored. They would press open a door. They would experiment. They would attempt to do something, to go into Bithynia. See, we already had plans. He was burdened and eager to take them the gospel. You could say that Paul's heart was full of plans and intentions of doing a work for God when the Lord stepped in and called him to another work. You know, God always and usually calls busy men to do his work. David, the shepherd boy, was called when he was watching his father's sheep. He was already doing a very useful, needful work. The disciples were all employed when they were called to be disciples. They had to leave their boats and their nets behind them. They were already busy. Philip the evangelist, there was in Acts chapter 8, there was an outbreak of revival in Samaria. There was a great harvest of the gospel, and God said to Philip, go down to Gaza. I have a work for you to do there. He had the Ethiopian in mind. And Philip was a busy man. He had a vision of doing a work for God when God called Philip down to Gaza. Timothy, of whom we learned last week, he was a young man that was well reported of in these areas of Lystra and Derbe. He was a young man that had a testimony of being a helpful, a conscientious, a useful servant of the Lord. And that's the man that God took out to be the helper to the Apostle Paul. And of course, this is the rule that you may expect. God will put the vision in your soul for the work of the gospel, and before the vision comes, before you go to the gospel work, there will be the passion before the position. There will be the drive before you get the direction. There will be the burden of the heart before there will be the final word in your head. But if you're doing nothing for the Lord, you have no burden, no passion, no area of service whatsoever, quite contempt to be sitting about with no desire to serve the Lord in any capacity, you're probably never going to be called to do much for God. The Lord calls busy people to the harvest field. He calls those that are already, as we would say, up to the ears in God's work. Their plate is full. They're always on the stretch to doing something for God. That's what Paul was up to. And yet Paul said, I want you to leave all that aside. I want you to stop all of that and come in this new direction. So you will be a visionary if you would obey the call of God, if you would be the one who would answer a Macedonian call in our time. Now, what would be the Macedonian call of our time? Well, there's Liberia that we've talked about. There is, in a real sense, a call from that land to our church, come over and help us. Bring not just things, but bring the gospel. Bring us teachers and preachers, or give us training that we may preach. So there is there a call to help. Over in Nova Scotia, there is a group of people who are very keen to have a Free Presbyterian Church, and there is a call for help from there. There is this yearning that they might be a part of the witness and testimony of the gospel of the Lord Jesus. There are needs all around us. Indeed, what gospel church, what evangelical gospel church would not take on board an active helper to work for God? I don't think there would be any. And you'll certainly not be set aside with nothing to do if you would be one who would answer such a Macedonian call.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. This is Ian Gallagher. Thank you for being a part of the program, and I trust that the Lord has already spoken and ministered to your heart. If I can be of any personal help, or if you would like to request a CD of this message, or perhaps have some direction on how you can hear this message again on our website, please feel free to be in touch with us here. Our burden is to take God's word, to comfort the hearts of God's people, to encourage those who are seeking to live for the Lord Jesus, and of course to reach men with the message of the gospel. And our messages are from the Bible, from the pulpit of our church here in Cloverdale. We take the sermons of our pulpit ministry and seek to air them day by day on this station, 5 a.m., 5 p.m., and also our half-hour church service on Sunday mornings, 10 a.m. on this station. And so I hope that you'll be a regular listener. I hope that you will pray much, stand with us here as we let the Bible speak week by week. Now, our church is the Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. It's on the corner of 188th Street and 58th Avenue, two blocks north of Number 10 Highway. We would love to have you along at our church services. Sunday school hour, 9:30 for all ages, 10:30 morning service, and 6 p.m. our evening preaching service. We would love to have you here at the Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. Come along, join with us for a service, and introduce yourself. We look forward to meeting you and to hear from you. Also, you can join our Victoria Church. We'll give you information of that if you call us on our number here, 604-576-1091, or go to our website, www.cloverdalefpc.ca. And again, join us, please, again, as we let the Bible speak.